You know, everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket, it just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today.
Now Podcast One brings you Spike's Car Radio. A downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Hello, Spike's Car Radio fans. Spike Ferriston here. Zuckerman's here. We're in the studio of Beverly Hills. How are you all? I love you all. Do you know that? I love each and every one of you listening.
That's
driving
creepy.
Into your cars. I do, Zuckerman. This is the favorite part of my week, and I enjoy talking to all of you. I enjoy all the feedback we get on Instagram. I especially enjoy when you tell me something I'm not supposed to know. So you got any juicy car tips? Send it right to my Instagram, direct message me, and maybe I'll talk about it on the show. Zuckerman, how are you this morning?
Terrific.
Let me just introduce the guest before you get into whatever you're getting into. We have, is it Alois? Alois Roof.
Alice.
Alois Roof. He's bringing by the Yellowbird CTR. Is it a CTR or is it just a Yellowbird?
Well, he was supposed to be here already and tell us this, so I don't know.
Well, we were going to drive it, then we were going to talk about it. In truth, I screwed up because I thought we were recording yesterday.
Thank you.
Got moved to today. I had to move a pitch. Everything's messed up today, all right? But I got a pitch done at CBS this morning. I'm going to do this, and then I'm off to ABC to pitch something else.
Good, because we've got to make money.
And
I don't have time for this.
And you don't have time for this either. But isn't this nice that we get to spend an hour with everybody?
Well, it smells like salami in the studio.
It really does. Yeah, what is
that
all
about? Do you think it's Italian or Jewish?
I don't know. Now I'm realizing, hold on, let me see if I've got all – oh, here we go. I had my notes for the show, and now I lost them. Alois Roof, if you know what Roof is, how would we classify this? Are they a modifier? Are they the original modifier of Porsches?
I would say that he is the original modifier of Porsche dating back to the 70s. That as a very young man, he had some very big connection to the factory,
mm-hmm.
got preferential treatment, cars in white, as they call them, which are basically very shells off the body line.
Right. Without VIN numbers.
He got to put his own VIN numbers on it. And so if anybody thinks that Singer's doing something new, and no death, you know, I'm not knocking Singer, but it's like everything else, it's been invented.
These guys, we've seen these cars for a very long time. My neighbor, Stacy, has a 911 RS 73 roof motor build. What they like to do is they like to take the horsepower and double it.
And this was in 74.
And this is in, yeah.
And
exactly.
We should do a graph of increase of horsepower and decrease in Stacy's driving ability.
Yeah.
Over time.
He was going to come. I invited him to come. He, our dogs are friends. So every day around 5 o'clock, he walks his dog up the street. And if I'm home, I bring my dog out and we talk about the dogs, but then mostly we talk about cars. He was going to show up. He's busy. He offered to let me drive the 73.
I love watching him drive that car. It's ferocious, and he's like fast, loose, and out of control.
Right. And so they have this
Shoulder Stacy is what his nickname should be.
They have this new car based on, right, the Yellowbird, right? There mm-hmm. there was a car.
Well, that was their claim to fame, right? That was really
right.
The car that shook everybody.
They made 29 of these, built from scratch. Between 1987 and 1996. And now...
What are the stats on that? Because that's impressive in 87 to 96.
All right. Here's what I got for you. 470 horsepower with 553 foot-pounds of torque.
Oof.
Red line of 6,800. Five-speed gearbox. Twin turbocharged. Two valves per cylinder, flat six. So they're turbocharging. That's how they're getting all of this horsepower, Zuckerman. 0 to 60, 3.65 seconds.
In 1987.
Not bad.
Listen, that kind of torque was from like an Olds 454 engine back in the day. A 7-liter Olds would give you that much torque.
And what do we do? And much like Roseanne did with her little TV show, Roof is now reviving this car. They announced it in Geneva in 2017, exactly 30 years after the CTR was launched. They've got the new car. It was supposed to be here 15 minutes ago, but Mr. Roof slept in at the Peninsula and still isn't here. You and I have a heart out at 12:30. We will go look at this car on the way out and take some pictures and put it up on Instagram for you to talk to. But everybody is very what we have heard about this, though, is 700 horsepower,
yes.
Right? 0 to 60,
no one improved.
3.5 seconds, a little quicker. And they're already sold out. There are only going to be 30 examples. They're already sold at
a starting price of
750,000
euros, which means in your dollars, in your pathetic dollars, that would be well over a million pathetic dollars, weak dollars.
What do you think about that? Do you think that car is worth it? Would you buy this car?
Okay, I don't think I would buy it, but I think that I would love to have it.
And what it's based on a 964 platform?
Yeah.
Like the original?
You know, I love it. I love the idea of it. Yes, if I had. Okay, I feel very poor today. So that's a bad. Ask me tomorrow when I'm feeling flush.
When you're feeling flush?
When I'm flush.
Why are you feeling poor?
I don't know. It's
what
just,
happened?
It's 11:30. I'm tired.
I'm
stressed.
Yeah.
No,
the world gets stressed.
Yes.
Right.
It's like we live in the house of a drunken parent and you never know what's going to go wrong.
Do you feel. Usually later in the week. I've always noticed a pattern with you. You buy cars on Thursdays and Fridays.
Okay, but it also has to do with the payroll cycle.
So
we just had
paying yourself.
We had payday yesterday, and I feel like basically the earth is going to crack open. The devil's going to reach up and pull me into the flames, and
you had to pay the whole firm.
Yes, and it was insanity.
Oh wow. You have a lot of employees, right?
Yeah,
how many employees do you have?
140.
140. So that's a lot of dough that just flies out the window.
Imagine
right?
140 birds, little baby birds in a nest with their mouths open screaming, and I have to drop all of those dollar worms into the mouth.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown, Zuckerman.
Or as the Jew said, the crown is no cure for a headache.
Ah.
Yes.
Yes. I guess that's the same thing, right?
Basically, but yeah. With a little Yiddishkeit spin on it.
Wouldn't you agree, though? All right, let's get back to car buying. That the best days, the worst day to buy a car, what day is it?
Monday.
Monday, right? There's no car I could buy on a Monday and get excited about.
Right.
There's just my focus is on work. My focus is on the week ahead. I don't even want to think about – well, I will think about cars a little bit. But I don't want to focus solely on a car until Thursday around 4 o'clock.
Right.
Right?
When you're feeling hopeful – you have to feel hopeful. And my normal mindset is misery and disaster. So this is – I have a cycle just like, you know,
mm-hmm.
I have a cycle.
I understand that. No, I feel the exact same way. Thursday and then it peaks and right around Sunday around 2, all my car excitement starts to fade again.
And by Sunday at 8, you're fucked.
And I do – you're right. Yeah, I'll do one last run. Come up with an excuse for one last run. Pick up dinner –
right.
You know, just pick up a kid who's on a play date. That's the last run. That's the last bit of fun before the hangar doors close.
And then Sunday at 8, you think about the week that is laying ahead of you.
Yes.
And you're back to knowing that it's all going to be over. You should just hang yourself, basically. you're fucked.
No, but don't you find now, all right? Now that we're into Monday, right? You're in the hell. You're doing the work. That's now Monday night. You start to
–
every once in a while you get in the computer, right? And you just start looking a little bit. You start reading a little bit. You and I and Jerry start texting each other and reading stories.
Yes. And
right?
Then the tempo increases.
And the tempo increases.
And then Jerry's cornering the market on 912s and SCs.
Right.
By Thursday, he's cornered. He's like the Hunt brothers in the 70s.
Why?
Cornering the market.
Because he's on a comedian schedule, right? He's doing a different thing. He's working all weekend long. He wraps up his stand-up Sundays and gets home, and then he wants to party Sunday. Like, that's a bartender schedule. I used to be on that, too. You want to party. You're partying Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and that's what he's up to. So when he's doing that, it's hurting you and I.
Do you think – yeah, exactly. Do you think – yes, he is. He loves to hurt us. Do you think that he considers – like the world market and says, I think I'll corner the market on 912s. Do his voice.
I figured out I've got to buy something, Spike. You have to? I've got to. Got too much money in my pocket.
It hurts.
It hurts. So what are you thinking? I don't know. There's these 8 cars. Well, don't you have those 8? I need more, Spike. I don't have a brown one. And then he starts going at it. And I honestly think he forgets. No, he does. But he says this, but he's lying. I don't have anything like this.
Exactly.
Yes, well, okay, yes. Technically, you don't have a 912 with 7,500 miles. Yours are more like 9,000 original miles in that same color. But yeah, technically, you're right. But that's our function is to go along with all the schemes the same way he goes along with ours.
And then we just quietly whisper to each other, different but the same.
Yes.
Different.
But we do that too.
Of course.
All guilty of that. You're talking to a guy who had 5 911s in the same 1 or 2 years off and then went, oh, what am I going
to
drive?
I'm getting to that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, these things, it's funny. I've watched these collections and it's true of all of us. We load up and then we let go. It's like breathing. You load up and you let go.
It's more like that Three Stooges noise.
Yeah. What's that?
I think it's like the cake with the hot water bottle in it expanding.
Yeah.
Could you do that noise?
No, I can't.
But you met the wife of – what was her name?
I had lunch in New York with Larry from Three Stooges' sister, Lila. Lila Fine was her name. She's married to the – or was. I'm sure they're not alive. This was in the late 80s. She was married to the sound effects guy.
Who made those noises.
Who made the noises, yeah. And that's a lunch invite you say yes to and go to. Boy, and she looked just like Larry, unfortunately.
That, to me, is the highlight of your life.
If
I go through the pages of your life, I'm dog-earing that page.
I'm not going to argue with that.
And the greatest part is you're almost a little too young to appreciate it. You can look back because you're
– I was very young at the time, but I was a huge Three Stooges fan.
Right,
so
but you're not jaded. You're not cynical. You have none of that. You're just wide-eyed soaking it in.
Sure.
It's
many questions. Let's bring our guest in. I see him sitting out there. He's got the car. Come on in. Bring him in over here. Oh, look, he's getting Norm. Norm Pattis is letting him in. The head of Podcast One himself has brought him in.
Well,
it's quite a show today, ladies and gentlemen. Here, step up to the microphone. We're not going to be able to hear you unless you're right there. And it's
Alois Roof. That's
Alois
a very
Roof.
Old German name.
Ah.
Comes from the Saint Aloysius.
Ah, there you go.
You're a holy man.
Yeah.
A holy man.
A holy man of
Porsche. Pull your headphones off the microphone there so I can see you. There you go. You can just put them down. That's fine.
Okay, good.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm a little jet-lagged, but I'm doing
okay.
Fine.
That's I wanted to make sure you were
procedure.
Okay. You were a little late, and then we were worried about you.
No, we had to make a couple of turns until we made it.
A little bit of traffic. And you're in the new car.
In the new car, yes. And
wow,
the new car runs
exciting.
Beautifully and loves Los Angeles and loves the Beverly Hills mountains to climb, everything.
So
it's
now
great.
What wow. Now what car is this? Is this the prototype that you have with
it's
you?
It's the prototype.
It's the prototype. And you're daily driving it now while you're in L.A.?
Since December last year, it's my daily driver.
Wow.
And the car was driving all over Europe already. We drove it to Italy, to the Mille Miglia.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very, very tough road to run. After the Mille Miglia, you know if your car will withstand the rest of the world, you know?
So there are going to be how many more of these? 29 that you've sold? And
30 cars.
30? Is your prototype one of the 30?
It's following. No, the prototypes are off the count.
Okay.
Yes. And the 30 cars are because of the 30-year anniversary of the original CTR, which was nicknamed the Yellowbird.
Right. Right.
Legendary
happened,
car.
Yes, and that happened through the press here from the West Coast at that time, Road and Track.
And all the cars weren't yellow because we had one out at the track. Didn't we have a yellow bird
there.
At Thermal?
I was not there.
We were out there with a group of guys and there was a black yellow bird.
Yes, correct. Imagine a yellow bird that fell into the black pot.
Right. Were they all yellow?
No. About one half of the cars were yellow, but the car could have any color. I personally drove one in dark green because that's my favorite color.
Wow. This is – thank you for coming in.
No,
this
thank you.
This is going to be really fun to talk about.
It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Oh, it's not an honor. Zuckerman's here.
No. Yes. I bring it down. I'm bringing you down to my level.
Why don't you tell us about getting involved with the company. Your dad started it, and you took over at age 24. 24 years old.
My dad passed away when I was 24, and that happened very surprisingly, and I had to jump into the cold river and made it all happen.
And what were you guys building at that point?
Already we were involved with Porsche cars.
Mm-hmm.
And we were modifying Porsches, we were fixing them, we were repairing them. And we had already a name for that because the whole story started 11 years before in 1963 when the first Porsche came to our company, to our premises. And that happened really by not only an incident, it was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was driving in his own built by himself, a tourist bus. And he was passed by a Porsche 356. And the gentleman who drove the 356 lost control in this passing maneuver and ended up in the ditches, rolled the car, and thank God he was fine. My dad looked after him, and we towed the car, and at the end we ended up buying the car and fixed it, and that was our entry.
Wow.
Into the world of Porsche.
And really, I always love these little stories. And usually everything's an accident.
Yeah.
And he's a personal injury lawyer.
Right. That's a very California type of profession.
Thank God you were not around.
Yes. You guys would have been finished before you started.
What's the statute of limitations?
In Germany, I don't know. We'll figure something out.
So you take this 356. Was it a coupe or a cab?
It's known over here in the States. They call it the Notchback. Carmen Hardtop.
Yeah. Yes. And what did you do to that car? What did your family do?
Well, it had no frame damage. It was just the skin. The skin was damaged mm-hmm. very badly from the front over the roof, and all the glass was broken. And I remember it was very difficult to get all the glass because that car was so rare in Germany,
right.
So new. And, everybody knew the Reuter Coupe. And the Carmen Hardtops, they went, I would say 90% of these cars went to the United States. Because
mm-hmm.
that car was an extra car that they put on the cooker to satisfy the demand in the United States at that time because Porsche couldn't come up with enough cars.
So they welded the roof on a convertible, right?
Well, you could say that. Yeah. You could say that. It was basically a convertible, and the hardtop was welded to it. And that was built by Carmen,
right.
And it suddenly came up with a new model, which was right. a great idea, I think.
Right. It's an odd bird now.
Yeah, it's a rare bird, yeah. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And what were you building before Porsches?
Well, my dad started the company in 1939, but he then had to go to war, and he was very lucky. He didn't have to go and shoot in the war. He was a brilliant technician, so therefore they used him for all kinds of technical matters in the rebuilding infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
and he was in Russia for that reason. And he came back as one of the really early ones that came back from the war, and he could start working in the company, and his specialty was improvising, trying to make something out of nothing.
So when this,
of course, there was nothing at that time.
There was nothing at that time. There was a lot of broken stuff,
mm-hmm.
and of five broken things, you could make one correct thing again. You know,
what a story.
This 356 rolls into your garage base, what other cars are there?
At that time, we had some BMWs there.
BMWs.
And it was not the glorious time of BMW.
What year is this?
Yeah. This is 1963.
63.
It's before the new series.
Before the new era of BMW started, because at that time they had Isettas.
Yes.
And they had motorbikes. And mm-hmm. they had a car that nobody could afford, at least in Germany, which were the Bertone coupes and
mm-hmm.
all the beautiful stuff, 507
right.
stuff.
Did you
like
ever
that, you know?
Did you ever hot rod an Isetta? Is there anything you could do to that thing to make it drivable?
No. My dad said an Isetta is an insult to a car mechanic. Because it wasn't really a car.
No. You know? Last time I drove one, a guy on a bike went by me. No lie, a bicycle. Just pedaled right by me.
Of course.
It's a tricky bit of business. Hold on. Time to pay the bills. Think of all the weird things found in cars. I'm not talking about your garden variety petrified French fries or melted crayons. I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets. It's the kind of stuff that just makes you wonder about, folks. Another thing you're going to wonder about, but in a good way, are continental belts. Bet you didn't know they're OE in tens of millions of Chryslers and Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. They're also OE on the majority of BMWs and VWs. Now, Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series, belts that are phonetically engineered for perfect fit form and function. And Continental has OE technology series multi-V belts for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. Hey, you get enough surprises working on cars and trucks, a belt should not be one of them. Go to Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V Belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit oetechnologyseries.com. So yeah. You guys, where is that 356? Do we know where that is?
That 356, we lost contact, unfortunately. I have the same type of car in the collection. But
do we know the VIN number of the car?
No, I don't know it anymore.
You don't know, because that's a significant car now.
Yeah, it's the Taproot. Right? The ultimate Taproot.
The ultimate roof Taproot is out there somewhere. But and how would someone know if they had that car? What would they see that they would go, well, wait a minute?
Well, it's ruby red with a black interior.
Okay.
And I'm sure there are many around in this color.
It's a 1963?
It was a 1962 model.
62?
Yeah,
okay.
62 model.
Ruby red. And what modifications in there? Are there any roof fingerprints where you go,
No.
We were the only shop doing
this. No, it was kept original. It was a 75 horsepower, an S model. But I must finish the story with the notchback.
Sure.
Because it gets better, you know. Because being in the car business, my dad knew we experienced how difficult it was. You know, if you wanted to sell a car, you had to trade in another car. You had to arrange financing and everything. It was just difficult until a sale actually happened. And in a November day in late 63, we drove the car to Munich, and my dad was driving. I was sitting next to him. We were going in one of the fancier streets, which is the Leopoldstrasse in Munich. And at a traffic light, a young man comes. He sees us stopping at the red light, and he knocks at the window, and he gives us a signal, please stop. I want to talk to you. We rolled down the window, and he said, I need to talk to you. I want to buy your car. so we stopped. Today you probably wouldn't, because you think there's something wrong with this, you know. Mm-hmm. But we stopped. We went to a coffee shop. He looked at the car, and he said, this is exactly the car that I need. I have a friend who wants this car. Then the young man, he was a student in Munich, he says, I have the money here. Come to my apartment. I will first of all, how much is the car? My dad picked a very high number, and he said, yes, I agree.
You found the one rich German in Munich. You went to his apartment in Schwabing, probably. And
it wasn't Schwabing.
Yes, we should put
how did you know that, Sarko?
Because
what the
he
hell?
Sat by Leopoldstrasse, and he said it was a student, and that's where you know.
You're a connoisseur. You've
yes,
been there.
Yes, so we must put a plaque.
Well, connoisseur isn't exactly.
If the building's still there, the plaque. A little sign. This is the
make
first
a shrine,
sale.
Yeah.
The first
wow.
roof
yeah,
sale.
Yeah. So what happened is we went to the apartment with this young man, and he had a candy box. And in the candy box was the money. He paid us. We didn't have the car papers with us. We were not prepared to sell the car. But on top of all, he gave us his 356, a Reuter Coupe.
Come on.
To drive home.
Wow.
And Roof was a nobody at that time. Nobody knew.
Mm-hmm.
We could have been crooks. We could have been running away with his car and mm-hmm. had the money, and he never saw a paper of the car or anything. But that trust that was there was just amazing.
Wow.
And my dad said, with these people who are anything to do with these Porsche cars, nothing is regular. Everything is different. You know, this is a crazy world. I has never tapped anything like that before. So it was great for me to convince my dad that we continue in this business.
Wow.
And we sure did.
What a
I
story.
I was 13 years at that age, you know.
What's
at that
it?
Time. I was 13 years of age.
What, 13?
That 13,
so that's
yes.
the moment that's happening. So at 24, do you feel overwhelmed in that moment? I mean, Zuckerman, 24 years old, what are you doing?
I'm thinking about where I'm going to go and eat a hamburger at 3 o'clock in the morning and wondering about my hangover the next
right.
day.
Right. Here's at 24, I'm getting hamburgers and Bud Talls for the graphics guy Saturday Night Live. I'm an intern. I'm making no money. But this is like someone saying, okay, you're gonna be Lorne Michaels now. You're going to sit and run this show. I'd be like,
never,
what?
It would have been a guaranteed failure for me.
Yes, for sure.
I must say, gentlemen, I was very grown up at that time. that was different. I went through all these phases already with the hangover and so on. Of course, I had hangovers later too. You know, there were occasions, but I was already very, very grown up. And I must also put into the story that in 1968, at the age of 18, my dad sent me to the United States the first time, and that was at that time for a European. An experience, you know, like traveling to the moon. Now, you know, mm-hmm. it was something totally, totally extraordinary. And my dad sent me to New York, and from New York, I took the Greyhound bus and was riding to Canada because I have an uncle who moved to Canada right next to the U.S. border in Quebec. And I spent a couple of weeks there and traveled around as a hitchhiker, which was not an easy task. But I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about the people and the country.
People forget that Germany was a poor country. Even in the 60s when the economic miracle is beginning.
Just stay on that mic if you turn your head.
No, the economic miracle was happening already in the 50s, but it was all relative. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, people were working also on Saturday, and they didn't work too long. They worked only until 5 instead of 6 or 7 in the evening, you know.
So it was a different
time.
Let me ask you, so when does Porsche come into play for Roof? When do you decide, you know what, we're just going to start modifying these guys?
That happened exactly at that time. You know, I was a student. I went to school. My dad sent me to school to learn English. That was the main task. Then when I was 18, I was sent to America, and then it gets even better. In 1970, in January, I came to your place here, to L.A., and I spent half a year here. And that basically was my future. My future was cast here because I had big eyes, what I saw at that time that people in Europe did not know about.
And what did you see?
I saw the La La Land. I saw freeways. I saw cars of any nature, people being car crazy. Because the car craziness in Europe was not developed at that time.
Right,
you know? This is something that is happening today. We have people that have car collections. They go to the high-end cars. But at that time, that didn't exist. A car was there to be used, you know?
That's it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there was this small group of individualists. Those were the Porsche drivers. They saw themselves already as somebody very, very special, as a special... How can I say community? And at that time, you know, they were raising their hand and waving at each other and flashing the lights, you know.
Aha. So that's been going on for a long time. Usually it's just the motorcycle guys, right?
No.
Either the Harley guys or the
Harley
other guys.
Would do
and
that,
and the Porsche guys do it, but I thought that was a relatively new phenomenon.
This was happening at that time. And if you saw another Porsche driver, you would even stop and have a little talk with him, exchange some information about the cars, go and have a coffee or a beer, whatever. And
were they still wearing the bad cargo shorts back then? Because that's another part about being a Porsche owner, apparently. You go to the works reunion, everybody's got cargo shorts on.
No, none of that. When you drove a Porsche, it demanded a different lifestyle, also a certain attire.
Right. Well, it was considered expensive.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Of course. It was a very, very luxurious, high style, individualist machine, you could say. Yes. And.
You go back and you go, let's start working with Porsche exclusively.
Exclusively.
And who do you call up over at Porsche? Or do you have to do that? Or you have enough clients with Porsche?
No, we had built up a reputation and people were from went from mouth to ear or ear to mouth, whatever you call it. And it was all recommendation and we got more and more customers this way, also from far away. And then in the 70s, there was a you all know about the energy crisis, I'm sure, which is almost forgotten. The energy crisis made a very, very big, I would say, kink in our curve, because for a while the Germans were taking it so seriously that they really believe we will not drive a car anymore in a year's time, you know. But thank God all of this nightmare was over, and we recuperated and we got back in business. And in the mid-70s, Porsche developed a car that was called the 928. And that CEO, which was the first CEO of Porsche, he believed in that car very, very strongly and thought that the 911 is no longer needed and wanted to convert everybody to the 928 drivers. And that was a turmoil amongst the Porsche lovers. And they came to me and said, "Well, Mr. Roof, can you build me a car in maybe 3 years from now when mine is bad and used up? If we buy a new body shell now and we buy all the parts, that you can assemble a car for me?" And I said, "Sure." And then can we do one in another 3 years? So we buy two body shells now and stuff like that.
So people were really thinking about the future without the 9/11.
Wow.
And what are we going to do if we don't get 9/11s anymore? I said, "Well, don't worry. Then we just build them here."
That's so great. You know? It's funny. That fear comes up every once in a while, right?
Right.
Every few cycles, we have that fear. That's the end of the 9/11.
Yeah.
Water cooled now. The end of the 9/11. And no more air-cooled 9/11s. It's too long.
It's too big.
It's too big. It's the end of the 9/11. Well, the 9/11 is just fine. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You know what? Everybody has a favorite pair of jeans. The pair that fits perfectly and always looks great. The pair you wear out at night, at home, on the couch, at work, wherever. The pair I'm wearing right now to podcast. They're the go-to, do not underestimate their importance, pair of pants. No one knows this better than Wrangler, the authority on jeans. Using their expertise in comfort and durability and applying it to a new line of modern fits and styles, Wrangler jeans are made for the modern day adventurers, the go-getters, folks who like to keep moving. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, or you're the type who walks the earth in search of something, these are the jeans for you. Classic or modern styles, a range of fits at a price that works for you, vintage re-releases. Wrangler has something for everyone, and don't forget the iconic patch and our stitched W American icons for over 70 years. Visit Wrangler.com and check out the great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, outerwear for men and women. I wear these pants. I love them. Wrangler, denim made for the modern world.
You're listening to Spike's Car Radio.
All right, welcome back to Spike's Car Radio. We're here with Mr. Roof himself. Since we don't have a lot of time left, I want to talk about the yellow, but we have to. We have to get to this car that we're going to go downstairs and see.
We have to have him back then. There's hours of story here that I want to hear.
There is hours. There is hours to tell.
Oh, there are hours.
Can I just finish what I'm going to say?
Okay, shut up.
Jesus Christ.
Go ahead.
1987, 2017. Why do we decide to make this car again? Is it, what I've suspected, is it because Roseanne came back? That you decided I'm going to come back to. Am I right?
Roseanne?
It's an American TV
show. I'm joking with you.
It's
a revival of these TV shows. Everybody's coming back to doing what they did best. But what was the decision-making process there?
Well, the decision-making process is we saw that the original Yellowbird from 1987 was becoming more and more a collector's item, and the price went up double.
What did those cars cost new?
It started with 288,000 Deutschmarks.
Wow. Which was what? It was four to one?
Now, at that time, the dollar was very, very strong. So that was something like, $120,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Very expensive, though, for 1987.
Which at that time was a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. And now these cars.
Now they're over $1 million.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, now they're over $1 million.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
We blew it. Another thing we didn't take advantage of.
Zuckerman, we had no money in 1987.
I know.
I was an intern. I wasn't even getting paid.
I wasn't even in law school.
But that's incredible. It outperforms Philip Morris.
Yeah.
So these cars are getting ultra collectible. People are getting excited about them when they see them in a car show or Cars and Coffee. And you think, let's go back. Let's get the Stones together. Yeah. Let's call up Keith and do a tour.
Well, it was not only that. It's good what you're saying. I understand all these points, but there was I could feel amongst our clients that they were tired with too many electronic gimmicks, and they were looking for a more honest and pure driving machine. You know.
Yes.
And it starts already with the feeling of the glass house when you sit in the car. You know, I mean, undoubtedly the new ones are totally built for safety aspects, and they have airbags left, right, on top, before, wherever, and are very safe cars and are on the level like all OEM cars that are in the market. But there is this nostalgic feeling when you see that people would buy an old car that is 30 or more years older and spend so much money in restoring it or making a resto modification, you know. And that encouraged us, that we said, well, we are sitting on our own brand value, which is the CTR, So this car deserves to come back. And it can be the platform of a new era for Roof, and spin-offs of that car that can happen. And the first spin-off we showed this year in Geneva, which is the SCR, the normally aspirated version of the same car, same body, same suspension, but different drivetrain.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I want one, two, three. Yeah.
Okay. You have to talk to Estonia. She takes the orders.
You take the orders?
Yes.
This is your wife?
Yes.
She's sitting.
She's my wife, Estonia.
She's sitting in the studio with us off
my
to the
better
side.
Half.
She's not mic'd up.
Yes.
She is if she can dole out the cards. She's definitely your better half.
She's definitely
so why not half. Make 300 of these? Why not make 1,000 of these? Why are you only making 30?
Because it was 30 years.
It was 30 years. But aren't you interested
but maybe,
in making
maybe
a little
we should
dough?
Continue and make for every extra year another car. Huh?
Well, no, yeah, to say, if you don't count the prototypes, can I have 5 prototypes? We won't tell anybody about the prototypes.
Yeah, we'll just Instagram it all over the place. Right. We're talking about they would
I have one
know.
Of the 80 prototypes.
It's interesting because you've arrived at, you know, I remember when I was first getting into the Porsche thing in the 90s, and I'd see these Roof cars come up, and I was such a purist. I was such a preservationist, and I'd go, I get what these cars are and they're cool, but they're not Porsches because they're not the way they came out of the factory. Mm-hmm. And we finally arrived at a time where these outlaw cars, these R group cars, these modified cars, of which you were one of the pioneers of this, have become their own thing. That there seems to be fatigue with the factory car now, and we want something special, and we want something that they don't make a lot of. And you know, you've arrived.
Yeah. Here,
can you, you know, does it feel like that to you that in 2018 now you're arriving? Yeah. There's this acceptance in the Porsche community, or have you always felt you were always there?
See, we now know that the Roof car is positioned on top of the Porsche car. And this is what we wanted to achieve. And that was a very, very long road to go.
Long road, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But it is achieved, and we are a car manufacturer in its own right. So since 1981, we are entitled to give our cars our own chassis number, our 17-digit international VIN. And in 1987, we got approved by the American authorities, EPA and DOT. So ever since we are building cars for the United States that are labeled as Roof cars.
But you don't have to smash 25 of them or anything.
Thank God, because we are still under we're still under the umbrella of the small volume manufacturer.
Oh, you are. Okay.
We're not producing more than 500
cars.
So
what do you have to do to satisfy DOT?
We have to use all the regulations or apply all the regulations from DOT. And we have to certify it, and we have to prove it by showing the car and making all the bureaucratic work.
No crashing.
We're exempted from the crash.
What do you think that you're so special? Because when I look at you, I say, oh, my God, technical expertise, artistic expertise, a vision. You have these things. But if I had to ask you, what's the most essential element to – coming where you are today, where you say the Roof is on top?
Well, I have to say only one phrase for that. You must have you must have the right gasoline in your veins.
Yes.
And then you are okay. And in order to have that, I must rewind the book again a little bit, and we have to go to 1964 in the springtime when I was driving with my father on the Autobahn. And we were passed by a 901 prototype.
Wow. Really?
That car was the Quickblau. This was one of the prototypes that were in use at that time. That later became Mr. PX's car and then Hans Metzger's car. And it was flying by. We were in a little Opel car, a little GM car. It was raining. It was raining cats and dogs. And this car was flying by, and all the water was going over our car. And the wipers didn't manage to get the water to clean the windscreen. It was unbelievable, but the best was the sound. I'm sure this car did about 160 kilometers, 100 miles in the rain, but the tires were only this wide, you know?
Skinny.
These are the skinny tires. It was possible. And I said to my dad, wow, look at that. This is the new this is the new Porsche that is coming out soon. We didn't know the name of the car. The name 901 was not known. 911 was not known. And there was only one publication in Germany called Hobby. It's something like Popular Mechanics.
Right.
And they wrote about this new car that is about to come, and it's probably called the Type 2000 because it had 2-liter displacement.
Right.
Yeah. I have to give this sidebar to you so you understand the craziness. I was a student. I was in school. Mm-hmm. I went to college at that time, and I was full of ideas what to do, where to go, go to America later, and learn about all about cars, you know? And I have also studied the history of Porsche, and I have seen so many things basically in their history book. If you read it carefully and if you know enough, then you know what you need to do to find back to the roots. And we are trying to find back to our own roots, and we are mixing it with roots that were originally given by Porsche.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic, fantastic history. Mm-hmm. A lightning. So again, another taproot moment in 1964. This is 53.
The year I am born.
The year I am born. Not you, me.
Me. No, me. I'm older than you.
By 2 months.
The audience needs to know that. I am the older brother here.
So you are a B model then.
Yeah.
He's a B, yeah, there.
That's very funny.
A T6.
Yes.
So we have 700 horsepower, twin turbo, water-cooled, 3.6-liter flat-six with roots in the company's Metzger engine family.
Wow. Yes. That's correct.
Now, what does that mean, roots in the Metzger engine? That doesn't mean Metzger engine.
No, the Hans Metzger was...
No, I know that part of it, but I'm saying in the engine in the car...
The engine in the car has the same layout like the very first 911 engine, which means it has a crankcase, and the cylinders are still separate. The cylinders are being installed with the studs, and then the... cylinder heads, of course, they come as an extra piece, and so do the camshaft housings. All modular.
Why is this preferable? This is just an homage to the roots? It's a better engine for you? What do you like about it?
When it gets to that type of performance, it has been proven, and it has been proven by Porsche's own racing experience that this is the best base engine to use. It is probably more expensive to build it today because there are other ways of building engines today for the mass production. But for our car and for the hand-built car, we feel comfortable going this route.
Listen to some of these details, Zuckerman. It says the car will exceed 223 miles per hour.
Yes.
Will exceed. The exterior panel is shared with no other Porsche. So the exterior panels of that car, you're not going to find in any of the Porsches.
That's
is that
correct.
True? So you created the body
correct.
Yourself.
Yeah. Wow. Yes.
And it's 2.8 inches longer than the original Yellowbird.
The wheelbase.
Wheelbase.
Yes, the wheelbase, but not the car. The car overall length is always still the classic size.
So it is.
Yes.
Wow.
Would that be visible to my eye that the wheelbase has been modified?
We can try that later when we visit the car, but I'm pretty sure you will not notice it.
These juicy little wheel details, Zuckerman, on the brake caliper holding the wheel on. Recognize anything?
Of course. It looks like a GT3 wheel. It's a center cap with a ceramic brake.
I will have to walk you through the car to show all the details, and then you will understand what we did, but you won't see it on the first glance.
Will you? No. Do you drive drive at 300
carbon
kilometers
tub,
per hour still?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You
sure.
will?
Oh, yes. Of course I do.
Of course. He says of course. Everybody
How much carbon fiber is in there?
You see the tub, which is the monocoque, the centerpiece. It's completely made of carbon fiber, and the skin of the car is made in carbon fiber. But what you see in this photo here is that the subframe in the front and the rear is made of lightweight steel.
Yeah.
For the crashworthiness, so it can deform, as well as the roll cage. And the roll cage is, we call it the IRC, the integrated roll cage, which is something that we have for the last 25 years at Roof.
Oh, look at that.
And
so you're not going to see it in the interior of the car. It's just going to be inside.
It's all inside. It's all inobtrusive.
Right.
That's all inobtrusive.
That's really cool.
Do you
cool.
have children working in the company as well?
Sometimes, yes. When they're interested, when they come for internship, we have kids here.
You only have about, 65 employees somewhere?
65 employees,
yeah,
yes.
Right. So it's a nice little business. Think about that, Zuckerman. Zuckerman, we started the podcast talking about Zuckerman every week when he has to pay his employees. And how many employees?
140.
He panics.
And they're all children.
They're 65. Look at the engine housing on this. Look at that yellow.
Ooh. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Every piece of this car is delicious. Yeah. And none of them are for sale. I'm sorry if you're listening out there and you had a spare 750,000 euros. What was this green roof car I was seeing floating around from time to time? Was that the Yellow Bird, the Irish green car?
The Irish green, no, that is a Turbo R Limited.
That's a Turbo R Limited.
Yes.
And how many of those did you make?
Seven cars.
Seven?
Yeah.
And that was just for customers who
just for
wanted.
Customers, yeah.
What can I buy today?
Yeah, what do you... Well,
I want to
no,
buy
that's
something
not the question,
today.
Zuckerman. That's not the question.
Yes.
Question is, what do we have coming up in the future that might be available to all of us?
Yes.
Now I'm that sure. the Yellow Bird has launched, the CTR, what's new? What do we have? Is there other stuff that you're working on? Do you
well,
other
the,
secrets?
The SCR is coming. The SCR is coming, and that is happening next year. We start the production of the SCR parallel with the CTR, with the new one.
Are those available?
That is available.
This is the green guy. This is the car I love. This car is outstanding.
Okay.
And what is this car that Ralph Lauren has, this roof car that he loves so much? Which one is that?
The CTR3, the mid-engine car.
Right.
Yes, two of them.
And those are zooming up in value, right?
Oh, yes, they are.
One of those is getting auctioned off. I think this show's going to air after the auctions in Monterey.
In Monterey, yeah.
Right, right.
One will be auctioned there.
Big money.
In Europe was one auctioned, and it made it to 1.1 million euros. Which is also
Zuckerman, look at this. Yep, at this SCR. By the way, Spike's Car Radio, SCR 40.
Well, we have to get one.
Do you hear that, Con Media PR guys? You have to arrange for a show car. We have the same initials, SCR, SCR, you and me.
Oh, that's your, okay,
look
great.
At that, Spike's Car Radio, we call it SCR.
Spike's Car Radio, okay.
Wow,
SCR stands for.
So what, we want 001, so agreed.
Okay.
I got a contract.
How many people do we have listened to this now?
A lot.
They're all
millions.
Witnesses.
Millions across
they're
the world.
Witnesses, so,
they're all witnesses. We have 001.
Okay,
especially
the door is locked and you have to sign Estonia's contract.
Yes, she has one with her.
Do not upset my Brazilian fans. They are the most passionate.
Oh, yeah.
They are frequently armed. Anyway, thank you for coming in here. This
sure.
is very exciting. You're, I'm guessing, on your way up to Monterey. Next week?
Next week, yes.
Yeah, we're recording this before Monterey Car Week. And what are your plans up there? What are you're bringing up the Yellow Bird?
We're bringing up the new Yellow Bird, and we're showing it at the Quail.
Oh, great. Well, we're going to be there, Zuckerman.
Yeah, wonderful.
We'll
come and visit.
Bring the contracts with you.
And you're also invited to the Alois Roof reunion.
Which is on what day?
Which
fantastic.
Is on the 24th.
That's Friday?
That's Friday.
Yeah.
It is Friday.
Oh, no, the dinner is before.
The night before.
Oh, good.
We're going to be there. We will be there. We will see you up there. We have to drive the car at some point. I don't know if I'm going to have time today, but if you're here this weekend, I'm going to find you. Now I know where you're staying. I'm going to just bring my little valet ticket and take it out for a spin and see how it works. Well, anyways, thank you so much for coming in. It was very, very nice to meet you. If you want to check out these cars, Road and Track has a great piece on the old car and the new car. Mr. Travis Okulski's little website. Check that out. Zuckerman, do you have anything to say before we go?
I'm in awe. I want to do hours and hours of this
Look
gentleman.
You were feeling you were feeling broke, and now you want to buy a car, right?
See,
Look
that's what
that.
Happens. He's
Estonia. The consummate salesman, right?
And with Estonia.
With a story.
Yes, and with Estonia with a contract.
And
all right.
Yes. Well, and I'm Spike Ferrison. We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio. Real quick before we go, if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for. But what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio. Download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
If you like this show, you need to check out CarCast, the longest-running automotive podcast. CarCast is a twice-weekly automotive show hosted by Adam Carolla, wrestling superstar Bill Goldberg, and Matt the Motorator D'Andrea. It's the only show of its kind that explores all aspects of the automotive space, from the performance aftermarket to new car buying and the future of the automotive industry. The guys answer your questions, offer advice, and feature guests from the automotive industry and celebrity car enthusiasts. Listen to CarCast with Goldberg and Motorator Matt D'Andrea every Wednesday and Adam Carolla with the Motorator every Friday on the Podcast One mobile app or iTunes Podcasts.